The following program is a repeat of The Farm Show, which airs Thursday nights on KCLR from 7.
Brought to you by TierlonFarmLife.com.
This is The Farm Show on KCLR with Matt O'Keefe.
Brought to you with thanks to TierlonFarmLife.com.
You're very welcome to The Farm Show. We'll fervently hope that the few drops of rain that are falling outside at the moment don't herald a return to anything like we've endured for months and months and months up to early in this week. We're going to be getting advice from Chagas, from Sandra Hayes, about how to deal with the big, big work burden that's being gone through on farms at the moment, right across all the sectors. Elsewhere, we'll be chatting to local man Jim Mulhall, who is the vice chairman of AgriAware, about the work that that organisation does. And we'll be going all the way down to Nedeen, to Ken Mayer, to speak with this year's MOCRA Mr. Personality, Mark Reardon. And of course, we'll have our normal livestock reports from Tullow and Killeen Hill, all to look forward to. But first, I spoke earlier in the week to Sandra Hayes.
The improvement in weather conditions has been, to say it's been welcome is an understatement, and we'll hope that it'll continue, even though there may be some hiccup. I'm joined by Sandra Hayes of Chagask. Sandra, you're very welcome to The Farm Show.
Thank you very much indeed for having me, Matt.
It's all systems go out there, Sandra. You were on a farm walk. I'm speaking to you now on Wednesday morning, but you were on a farm walk on Tuesday, yesterday. And how is progress?
Progress is going well. I was out on one of our monitor farmers in Waterford, Shane and his dad John and his partner Kate. They're down in Portlaw in Waterford, and I went down yesterday morning, and sure, as always, the first thing we do is a grass walk. So the farm cover is under 550 kg of dry matter, which is tight enough. The cover per cow is at 170. Where we'd like to see it, as I say, we always find this in April, you get tight periods like this. But it's good, and it keeps grass quality to the format. The pre-grazings that Shane was going into were very good, and the graze out was excellent. Cows reprogrammed very, very quickly. They're back grazing down really, really well and leaving that 4 centimetres for regrowth. And while we were there, John was out. First of all, he was out with the less machine for spreading the slurry on some of the paddocks that kind of got a bit roughed up on the first rotation. So it's good to get a bit of P and K to help repair the root. So that was going out in those paddocks. And then on the other paddocks, there was 30 units of protected urea with sulfur going out because no chemical fertilizer, the conditions hadn't been suitable to get chemical fertilizer to this point. So they were playing catch up with 30 units at this point.
Now, that's one farm that deliberately forced on grazing, even through the poorish conditions. But there's a range of farms around, some of them not halfway through the first rotation, I'd right. imagine.
Yeah, that would be similar to one of our monitor farmers in Kilkenny, Francis Nolan. I was out with him last week. His farm cover was well over 1,600. Totally different situation. Priority was there when we did that walk last week, was to get as much grass as we possibly could into the cows for the next 7 days. So that meant Francis had been up at a high level of meal feeding, so he was gradually bringing that back down, you know, a kilo every couple of days to resettle the cow's diet, change from all the silage that they've been getting to, you know, nearly 100% grass in their diet. So when we did the grass walk with him, it was a different story. We identified the 7 days of paddocks that were dry enough at that point to take the cows, because his ground is still drying out. So I know that Francis showed me last night there a video of a reseed that he did in September. We walked that field and they were in grazing that last night. It was strong enough to take the first grazing of the 160 cows that he has to take in on the paddock. So that was great progress. What he'll have to do is he's identified paddocks out of the, you know, the milking platform that will go for probably for first cut. It'll take longer for those paddocks to dry out. And then there's other paddocks that he'll be able to take out shortly. Don't know when, but shortly to take those out for bales to get them back in. It's a case of Francis of, you know, reconfiguring the grass wedge, and making sure he doesn't run out of grass, because if you cut it all for silage, well, then there'll be nothing back on the platform. So it's a case of farmers looking how to divide it up, long-term silage, short-term silage with bales, and then what can be grazed in the next 7, 14, and have for the following week, the third week, as I call it.
A lot of considerations to be taken that you normally wouldn't face in the month of April. I mean, we're well past magic day, so more grass being grown than is being consumed. But ultimately, on, for instance, the like of the Nolan farm, within a couple of weeks, you want to get to that stage where it's under management.
Yeah, because you have to, as you remark there, Matt, there's catch up on jobs, and there's other jobs that have started, like some people have started breeding or pre-breeding checks as well. So there's that going on as well. You're getting the vet in maybe to check cows that haven't cycled. So as long as all the normal April jobs, like getting fertilizer out for your silage, your first cut silage as well, you have reconfiguring of the wedge as well. So there's a lot going on farms at the moment. As I say, catch up is immense at the moment with farmers trying to get jobs that have been put off. There's a lot of slurry in tanks that couldn't been spread. So farmers are making great use of the resource that's on their farm. And all of the Monitor farmers, they got their slurry tested over the last number of years through the signpost program. So they know the value, they know the P and the K that's in 1,000 gallons of the different tanks, whether it be lagoon slurry or slatted tank slurry. And they're able to use that and put that back out in paddocks now, knowing what they're applying in terms of nitrogen, phosphorus and potash. And that's a great resource that farmers have on to make good use of it as well. I know some farmers have caught out. They haven't been able to get silage ground with slurry like they want. Like there could be very heavy covers carried over from last winter. And what Chagas are recommending, look, take your loss. If it's too heavy, you can't go in with slurry, whether it is by the trailing shoe or the dribble bar. It the possibility of a caking would be there, particularly with this dry weather that we're having at the moment. So we would say, look, get out with your chemical fertilizer and make sure there's sulfur, 20 units of sulfur included with your protected urea. Or if you're going with your 18-6-12, make sure that's with sulfur as well. And get the slurry out afterwards. Get that first coat done as early as you possibly can. Because look, we don't know what's ahead of you. And a lot of rain has already fallen this year, Matt. So there's a lot of silage being eaten. So the plan as well is to have a plan for silage. How much do you need? Are you keeping the same number of stock as you did for the last winter, which was very long? Silage, it was being fed up well up into April. So do you need the same reserve? So maybe it'd be a good chance. People are going in doing their BIS appointments at the moment. Maybe have a quick chat with your advisor. We've plenty of different programs in there for doing up quick calculations for how much silage is needed. And it could be a case that what you standardly closed off in the past, you might need to close off a bit more this year or have it for second cut. So have that conversation with your advisor in the next week or so if you're in the office doing paperwork.
Your overall advice I'd suggest is to grow it and manage it, not to neglect keeping fertilizer out and slurry where appropriate and try and get, you know, the preponderance of that out certainly before the 1st of June.
Personally, what I'd like is, there's, as you said there, there's a lot of people that have grass that hasn't been grazed, particularly on outblocks. So if you can get the fertilizer out that, and I'm always leaning on the side, get what you can out and have a cutting date in mind. And for me, it would be the early May one, and take what's on those fields and get it off. Look, everybody's farm, Matt, is totally different. People might have grazed the silage ground once, twice, or maybe even attempted it a third time because it was dry ground compared to other parts of the farm. So every farm is different. But just, I suppose, have a plan. Have the fertilizer in the yard. A lot of it, I've seen a lot of it on the road moving, which is great to see the last number of days. But have it in the yard, have your options, and get out that fertilizer and have your cutting date in mind and another plan to get that slurry out then afterwards. So if you took an early cut, then slurry can go out, you know, because there is pressure on tanks out there and farmers want to lower them.
Just to deviate for a moment slightly, Sandra, new reseeds. I mean, it's the time of year, it's the most optimum time apart from maybe hopefully in the autumn, but April time to prepare ground for reseeding. What are your suggestions, advice there?
Okay, first thing I would do is I would look at if you're a grass measurer, go and look at your annual tonnage report on your pasture base. It'll show you the paddocks that actually didn't perform last year, and it'll show you the number of grazing. So you could have a paddock that didn't get grazed many times because it wasn't growing the grass, and that would be the target ones to reseed. You're right, April is a great month for getting it done. So have a look at that report. There's some very good tips at the moment. There's a big campaign done by the Chagas Grass 10 team at the moment on things like Instagram and X and Facebook. They're doing a big campaign at the moment. And included in all that is a focus on reseeding. And there's two ways of doing it, doing your spraying off and your tilling up, or your min till. And then the other option then is for existing paddocks. It's also an opportunity, Matt, to stitch in clover. Very, very good month. And there's some excellent videos on those Chagas Grass 10 Instagram accounts on how to do it. Get the cows in at the moment, get it grazed down nice and tight. A lot of people using the Einbach machine, stitching in that clover, putting a dressing of very light slurry, very watery slurry on top of it afterwards, and then watching it go in for an early graze. Because what you have when you stitch in on a reseed mat is that your grass will compete. And what you want to do is let the light in and get the clover generated really quickly. So you need to get cows in to graze that, maybe anything 800 upwards. Don't let it go too heavy, because, you know, the light will get in and cover over the canopy and the clover will find it hard to grow. So you've either your full reseed spraying it off, or you have your stitching in option at the moment. But there's a lot of paddocks out there that got kind of maybe a bit of a hard doing with their first or second grazing, and they're not looking the best. And, you know, this is an opportunity that you could stitch in clover. I'd look at your soil results as well. It's very important for clover or any reseed that you need your pH above 6.2 and you need your P and K requirements at index 3 or index 4, because clover needs those and reseeds need those conditions as well. So have a look at your recent soil test results that you got done in the last, you know, couple of months or maybe last year, and see when you're choosing your paddock. You have a lot of consideration. I've given you a lot of different options there, what farmers have to look at. And if in doubt, pick up the phone and have that quick conversation with your advisor.
Sandra, where paddocks have been damaged, and, you know, there's a considerable amount of damage on some farms, there's divided opinion on the merits or demerits of rolling.
Well, I'm a non-roller now, Matt. When I moved into dairy advisory, I had a very good mentor, Willie Dwyer from Cashel. He was the previous advisor to me. And Willie's always told me that you can poach when you go in the first time, but you have to pick the right conditions the second time going into the paddock, because the cows are well capable of repairing the damage that they've done. So that would be my advice. I wouldn't go with rolling. It can do more damage than you think. It's a bit like the topping. It's sometimes it's more for aesthetics than anything else. So try and watch the days when you're going in. Like this week, there's a good, like, I was just astounded at the drying out of land when I walked with Shane yesterday, how much it had dried out. And he was surprised as well. He said every couple of days, just a huge transformation. And we could see where cows had gone back into poach paddocks the first time around, and they did a great job.
Sandra, not necessarily your area of expertise, but I'll get a comment from you. I'm sure you speak with your colleagues anyway. Huge day and night work going on in the tillage sector to try and make up for lost ground.
Yes, there is. They're extremely busy. I live in County Leash, and I'm commuting across to Kilkenny, so I see a lot of activity, a lot of tilling going on. It's great for them. They get the catch up. The only thing I'll say with any enterprise, and I know it's been pushed by a lot of different bodies, is just to be conscious of health and safety. There's only so many hours that everyone can do. And if anything happens, the farmer themselves, well, nothing will be done. So it's very important that they look after themselves, no matter what enterprise they're in, Matt. There's only so many hours, as I say, in the day they can work. So just for all enterprises to be very mindful of the health and safety. And for people, if they're listening in here, that they're on the roads and they're trying to get places and there's big machines, look, those people need to move big machinery, big till machinery from one field to the other. So just take time out and just take a couple of minutes to let them move on in a safe manner from one field to another.
It's quite amazing, Sandra, what a few good days of weather will do to the mental status of farmers.
Yeah. I had a quick conversation with a man that you've often had in your radio show, Jim Mulhall, yesterday in the Chagas office. And we had a conversation about that yesterday. A bit of sunshine, a bit of heat, and the ability, I suppose, to do what farmers normally do has made them very, very happy. There's a great boost in morale over the last couple of days, and long may it continue, Matt.
Absolutely. Sandra, thank you very much.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me on, Matt.
No, there's a coincidence or not. That same named Jim Mulhall is in studio and we'll be chatting to him in a couple of minutes. Meanwhile, a colleague of Sandra's, Marion Mulhall, rang me just to get listeners notified of an organics farm walk next Wednesday. It's on Wednesday, the 1st of May at 11 a.m. on the George Farm, the farm of Bill George, up at Coolinowl Organic Farm in Arle in County Laois, and all about organic dairy and tillage production. And you can get all the details on the Chagas website.
The Farm Show on KCLR with Matt O'Keefe.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
As I said before the break, Jim Mulhall is in studio. Jim, you finished as IFA County Chairman, but you're involved with the Tierlawn Council, of course. And you're also recently, relatively recently, you've been appointed Vice Chairman of AgriAware. Now, we've spoken about AgriAware, but it's a while back. Yeah. Explain what it is, what it does, its function.
I was asked by the Tim Cullinan, actually asked me to would I consider going on the board of AgriAware, and I took the opportunity because this is something, as I went around during my 4 years as county chairman, people were saying, we're not delivering our message, like we're not getting the message of what people are doing, and there's a sense of frustration there with farmers. So AgriAware's job is, we're a charitable trust, we're an educational body, so our job is to go to the schools, to go to the shows, and just to deliver that message, what Irish farming is about, how nutritious and wholesome the food is, and the pride that farmers take in their environment and in managing their hedgerows and in everything that we do. And I suppose is to, our job is to educate the primary school, the secondary school, and the general public. And I suppose that is probably where our target audience is, to a certain extent, is to educate the people, the non-agricultural sector of our society. And it's a fair task. But I think it's something that AgriAware has been quite successful at doing up to date. And I would hope into the future we'll continue to have that success.
Yeah, and indeed concentrating to a good extent on the younger generation is very beneficial, because they'll get the message across to a broader audience themselves.
Yeah, indeed. Like, and I mean, there's a couple of different things that we do there, in particular to the primary school. So we have an initiative running at the moment, it's a new initiative. And it was launched by Minister Hayden, because his brief covers farm safety. It's called the Safe Farm Future. So we're going into schools, mainly rural schools now, albeit, and just educating the younger, the primary school children, the importance of farm safety and educating them to the risks and hazards that can be on around a farmyard. So, I mean, there is always a risk with children around a farmyard, but yet, you know, we all have had children around a farmyard, and it's a nice place to have them. But it's important that they're educated with some kind of a structure to the risks. So this is a new initiative. There's 22,500 children signed up for it, or 22,500 students. So it should land where we want it to land. We also have another initiative there as well, which is called the Incredible Edibles. And that's another, this is probably a little bit more nuanced, in the sense that we're getting, there's 70,000 children signed up for this programme, where they'll actually sow veg and, you know, and grow it, and they're encouraged about healthy eating and the importance of your five a day, and they'll actually see, they can sow carrots and various other vegetables, and they'll see them growing during the school year. And I suppose the message they're trying to deliver there, Matt, is that food doesn't just come off the supermarket shelf, that it grows from the soil, and this is something that farmers actually do. So this is, and we have post-primary initiatives there as well.
Yeah, and it seems so basic to us, but when you think about it, if you're at a remove from the countryside perhaps, but certainly from a farm, the notion of where carrots come from, or milk indeed for that matter, or meat or anything, it can be an alien concept.
It can, and I mean, every year, COVID kind of hammered us, but we had one there last summer, and we're hoping to have one. We're trying to organise it in the background there now, what's called an open farm. So we'll actually get a farm to throw the gates open, throw the doors open, and invite in the general public. And we will put a lot of work and time and PR energy into promoting this. And so what the plan is, that an actual working farm where people can come onto the farm of a weekend, you know, and it'll be a family day out that they can come on and see how an actual farm works. And I remember a couple of years ago, Larry Hannan's farm above in Ballitore held one, and I remember being in the milking parlour sort of when people came in. So there was a few of us volunteered to help out. So when people came in, our job was to stand there and explain the milking process, and people just couldn't get it. They just couldn't understand. I know, and to our listeners, they'd be surprised, but they couldn't figure out how the cow would actually stand there, that she wouldn't jump over the railing. You know, so it just goes to show how removed maybe that some sectors of Irish society have become from agriculture. And our job is to re-educate not just the children, but to re-educate the parents as well, and make them aware of the importance of what we do. So that's something that we do there every year, and as you say, it's to make people aware of what we do. And to us, it's everyday stuff that we don't see it, we just do it automatically. But to somebody like that example, where people couldn't understand that a cow wouldn't jump over the rail and that she walks in and stands side by side.
If memory serves me correctly, I was on the Hannon farm that day, and the biggest thing that struck me was the number of people, of families, who came and just strolled around and asked questions, and there's no question too stupid to ask. No. That's always a fact. It's a hugely successful initiative.
Yeah, it is a hugely successful initiative, and any big event, they don't just happen, and there's a lot of work goes on there in the background. We have a great team. We have Marcus O'Halloran there, is our chief executive, and he has a great team built around him above in Dublin, and there's a great work ethic with the staff there as well, and the word passionate is probably overused nowadays, but I honestly believe these people have a passion for their job, and so they've done a great job last year, and we'd hope to build on that this year and actually last year. And funny, the coincidence of coincidence, I was listening to the piece there with Sandra Hayes, and it was blowing Fitzgerald's farm last year where Sandra just spoke about. So we're trying to finalise a venue this year, and then we'll announce it, and we'll try and get it to roll out first.
Thousands of secondary school students studying ag science. Do you target those at all?
Yeah, indeed. We've just finished a really successful, what's called the Farm Walk and Talks. So we come at them with a two-pronged approach. So we've just finished a very successful Farm Walk and Talk series, which was spread across 10 venues around the country. So what we do in that scenario is, part of the ag science syllabus is those students have to get out onto a farm and, you know, see how a farm works, and that they have to, I suppose, understand farming. And we have to remember that not all ag science students are from farms, so they don't have, or some of them are from towns, and so they don't have the option of the father or the uncle or someone that, or aunt indeed, that they can call out and see a farm. So this is a really good initiative. Again, this year we were in Kildalton, and so all the students from Kilkenny, Waterford, maybe South Tip, gathered below only a few weeks back below in Kildalton, and again Kildalton really put the effort in. They had stations all around the farm, in the sheep section and all the different, you know, in the dairy, the beef, you know, all the different enterprises, so students could go in and get a clear understanding of agriculture and what's needed for their ag science projects. Plus, we have a feature there on the Farmer's Journal called the Ag Science Study Guides, and these are very well received by students and their teachers. I think that's over 29 weeks in the run-up to the Leaving Cert, and that works really, really well, and we get very positive feedback from that.
I read those myself. You'll always learn something.
Indeed.
And well written. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Balafoyle show launch, and there happened to be a conversation about the fact that Balafoyle was going to have a garden, a constructed garden at Bloom. Agriware also have a presence there regularly.
They do. So again, this is part of our brief, is to deliver the message to the general public. So Bloom is, it's, as someone described it when I was at Bloom last year, is the posh ploughing, which it is. If any of us have been to it, it's a huge, huge event. I actually didn't realise the scale of it now. It's a massive event for any of your listeners who have ever been at it. But again, it's a different sector of society, they've said, that goes to the ploughing. So AgriWare have a strong presence there, and they have a cow on site that's milked twice a day, and they have sheep, and they demonstrate sheep shearing and all that kind of stuff. And it's delivering a message to a sector of society that may not have ever come across agriculture or farming up prior to that. And it's the team put a lot of work into it, but it's something that I believe works really, really well. And it's something, so we have a presence at the shows and at the ploughing. The ploughing, you know, is, you're probably speaking to the converters at the ploughing in a lot of cases. But to me, Bloom is where, that's probably where our core audience we need to concentrate on. And it's something we've done very well up to this.
I know ye engage in an activity called Savour Local Flavours at Christmas time. We're not going to talk about it because
we'll
leave it till Christmas time, but it would be a great item to have on, and I'll get you to promise to come in near closer to Christmas and talk to me about Savour Local Flavours. But Jim, just back to the day job, it's been an incredibly tough time. The amount of work that's being gotten through is quite incredible now that the weather has turned.
Yeah, it's amazing what work we are able to get through, and whether when the weather has improved and land has dried out spectacularly fast down this part of the country, anywhere we have, generally speaking, free draining soils. A little bit more challenging, I suppose, maybe the further you go north. You would be a wee bit concerned about the forecast that's for the weekend. The tillage farmers have taken, and the mother and father of all beatings, for the past 6 months, you know, with the, trying to get the crops harvested at the tail end of last year, and now they've faced into a god awful spring, and has created a serious challenge there. So look, it has been a tough time, but it has been tough on people, Matt, you know, and we all know that. And look, we're all meeting sales reps or meeting people coming into the yard, and the common thread is, you know, people are just in bad form, you know, or to wear up to this. And it's amazing, the bit of sunshine last week, and all of a sudden, you know, the heat on your back, you're getting cattle out, you're getting out in the fields, and you're getting your crops sown, and you're getting all that spring work, you're playing catch up. And I know it's an almighty task, but when you're getting through work, you don't mind. You know, it was the sitting on your hands waiting for something to happen. Is this weather ever going to take up? It was driving people, and it was, you know, I mean, so if the farmer in the house is in bad form, well then the mood, generally speaking, is not great in the house anyway, like, you know. So that's the problem.
And as you said, we won't be the harbingers of doom, but either of the two apps that I have on my phone, as I say, I'm a sad person.
The rain is disappearing out of them. It's not as bad as we thought last year.
It's pushing further out. Yeah. So let's hope it'll stay in abeyance until all of the work, the necessary, very immediate work gets done. Jim Mulhall, Vice Chairman of AgriAware, thanks very much for coming into studio this evening.
The Farm Show on KCLR with Matt O'Keefe.
Brought to you by TierlonFarmLife.com.
The Mr. Personality, which was founded in Kilkenny and proved to be a hugely successful initiative, is still going strong. And I'm delighted to welcome the latest Mr. Personality for 2024, Mark Reardon, who's all the way down from, well, I call it Nadine. It's Ken Mayer as well. Mark, you're very welcome to the Farm Show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
What do ye call the town down there? Do ye call it Nadine or Ken Mayer or what?
We call it Kinmare, all right, but it's Irish terminology, be Nadine, all right, but in layman's terms, it's always Kinmare on the black. So
now you're well bedded in there. You're doing some farming, I think.
I am indeed, yes. So we're just farming, myself and my father, between Kinmare and Kilgarvan. We've foxy, sucked our cows all autumn calving. So it is predominantly limousine and Charley cows. And we actually saw calves today. The first batch of calves went today to Kinmare, Mar. So like that is all months away. Selling mostly Charley calves off the cows, and the heifers then would get an all rack just for their first calves. But sold today, and was happy enough, and fair trade is up to.
Excellent. Lots of links, because I had an Obrac producer on there just last week or the week before, and well recommended for crossing for to deliver beef calves. And as you say, prices reasonably good in the market today?
They were happy enough, in fairness. Yeah, I know a few of my friends and a few other farmers in the area, they sold last week and maybe 2 weeks ago out the yard, and they fetched very good prices too. But there was a special sale in Kinmare Market today, and my father was up there for about 5 o'clock this morning, and there even was a queue at that. So they're actually still selling at the moment. So there was a great turnout there. But prices are good, there's no denying it, but like saying that they want to be as good as they are, especially just with the price of, but I suppose, the fertiliser, the feed and farm requisites the last 2 years have definitely gone up. So it's just nice to see that the price is correlating with that some bit, and it's increasing as well.
No, you said it. That's true for certain. Mark, you like a lot of young people, you work off farm as well.
I do indeed, yeah. So I would have done my college in Cork and Clonakilty Agricultural College there, down in Cork as well. So I did 4 years there, and after that I knew there wasn't enough of an income, unfortunately, to make off the farm, because believe me, I'd love to be at home farming the whole time. So I knew I wanted my links within the agribusiness and the agri-industry. So in fairness, Dairy Gold there in Cork, based in Mallow, the agribusiness had a graduate programme. So I joined that in September 22, and I would have covered roles in logistics with fertilizer and bag seed. And since then, I suppose I've gone into the grains department since then, and I actually finished the graduate programme in January, and I stayed on in an agri-operation capacity, we call it, working closely with the feed mill, but also working closely with our grain operation and our intakes and growers across our Munster catchment area, I suppose.
And a bit of a commute for you, or do you stay over, or what's the arrangement?
About an hour 10, I suppose, would be my base to Mallow, but like that during the summer there, I could be going to East Cork and maybe up to Tipperary. It just depends where the demand is, just to maybe talk with growers and the intakes. But I think where I am, you're going to be going for a drive anyway, regardless for employment, because there's probably just not enough where I am at the moment. So you have to seek the employment, and in fairness, there is a lot of opportunities over the border, as we say. So.
And the main thing, you enjoy it.
Oh, I do, in fairness, yeah. Like I said, it is very interesting. Like every year is different in this game. Like last year, we saw the challenges with weather and prices, and look, we're looking into a similar year. And I suppose if you rang me 2 weeks ago, I probably would have had a more negative conversation with you. But in fairness, with the way the weather has gone the last week, you can really tell the difference it's had on farmers and farmer morale, but both on, I suppose, an operation side too. It's given cows a chance to get turned out, and it's given grain and the tillage farmers a chance to get feed in the ground and get the ball rolling.
You've seen the mood of farmers, and we've discussed this already on the programme, you've seen the mood of farmers improve immensely over the last week, 10 days.
Unreal, yeah. Like I said, if you talked to me 2 weeks ago, I would have had a different conversation with you, Matt. But in fairness, farmers are understanding of the way it's gone the last few months. Look, the weather, it's out of our hands at the moment. We just have to play ball with it. But I suppose when it starts getting to late March and early April and we didn't see the improvement, believe me, both dealing with farmers through the trading, through the cows, and along with our tillage farmers, it was increasingly hard out there because there was no end in sight. And farmers who might have winter crops out at the moment, or farmers who might have got cover crops in, it was probably a bit uncertain times. But believe me, the amount of work that's gone on there in the last week, I think it's a credit to the industry and our growers across the country, that the way we can all pull together and get the show back in the road. And in fairness, the last week has made all the difference. And morale has definitely improved on farming with growers out there.
No, I've been distracted talking farming with you. Mr. Personality, congratulations, first of all. I claim to know more than most about Mr. Personality because I compared it in Kilkenny for more years than I'd care to remember until I finally got the boost. But great crack.
Oh, it was unreal. Yeah. Unbelievable. Like, since we landed that Friday morning, it was like, well, as soon as he met all the other Mr. P's from all other scatters of life, I swear to God, within 10 minutes, you swear to God, we knew each other our whole lives. Just the crack in the stories you have from all of them. Like, it's very seldom you meet a group and you have that bond straight away. And I think there's something so special to the Macra and the people within it and the organisation as a whole, that the way we can just get on with each other, I don't think you get that a lot of different places. But it's a cracking weekend, and it's a testament to the organisers, to Kenny Macra, our sponsors, FRS, and the Talbot Hotel in Clanmead as well. It was just an absolutely brilliant weekend.
Yeah, it's like Macra in general, from my memories of it. You meet people that you would never have met in your life from the other end of the country. I still have friends from Donegal, Galway, Meath, everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah. And I don't know, there's just something about it. It's like a tonic. It's just people are there, I suppose, to make friends and have a good time, and it just creates such a good atmosphere. That there's just such a gel there. Like I said it before, just the Saturday night, if you looked around just before the Mr. P was announced, between all people, all walks of life, all different backgrounds, not just farmers in general, like that misconception out there that Macra is just for farmers, it's not. But the people there backing, I suppose, their Mr. P representative, families and friends, it's them type of moments you really have to cherish, and it makes the whole thing worthwhile. And I suppose it gives you a real sense of community and belonging here as well.
Great, a great summary. Mark, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for having me on as well.
Take care. Now we're going straight over to Tullow for Eric's Sheep Report.
Another very large sale today here in Tullow, and we're all in top form after the rugby win at the weekend here in the town. and congratulations to all involved there. Looking to the trade today here, them spring lambs. Top call today of 52 kilos, making 244 here today in Tullow. Lots of those lambs over 50 kilos, they're selling north of 260 up. 236 upwards, if I could say it correctly, with the well-fleshed 40 to 43 kilos lambs, they selling there in the region there from 197 and 8 up to 214, 215 there, and a good lively trade with the higher 40 kilos there pushing into the mid-220s. Over to the hogget trade here then. The hogget trade again, those heavy hoggets, where can we stop it? Up there today now, 54 kilo well-fleshed hoggets at 246 euros there. One pen of hoggets there making 252 today. They've been 60 kilos. But overall here, flesh is king. Store trade then, those lighter hoggets, 40 kilo hoggets there, selling there from 150 up to 170, depending on type and quality, with those 43, 44 kilo hoggets there pushing up close to 200 euros. With the very light offering hoggets there, selling from 120 upwards. Cast Joes, full to the neck of cast Joes here again. Those heavy Joes out in excess of 230, 240 a kilo there, up to 250, 260 ahead there in most instances. Some making out at 280. Lots of store Joes there selling from 160 to 180 a kilo there, and even touching up on 2 euro for the younger, fitter type Yo. Joes with lambs at foot. Very lively trade there. Single units there, aged Joes from 150 up to 230 there for younger Joes with the single lamb at foot. With twin units there selling from 200 euro up to 360 there for 2 year old Joes with strong twin lambs at foot. And we have Yo Hoggets with a single and a lamb and a half at foot there approximately. And they're selling up to 340 euro. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to see it put cheaper on the market. Thank you.
Ah, well done, Eric. You even have sound effects in the background now. Very professional, I'm impressed, because normally there's a wind or some such blowing. Just want to mention a cycling event, a charity cycle, Saddle Up for Down Syndrome. That's happening on next Sunday morning. It's cycling from Danesfort. There's three distances depending on your disposition or fitness or endurance. There's a 45 kilometre, 65 kilometre and 105 kilometre distance that can be cycled. It's all in aid of Down Syndrome Kilkenny branch, and the Zurich Foundation, this is important, the Zurich Foundation is matching funds collected for this charity event, and you can donate and your funds will be matched by the Zurich Foundation. You can donate via www.idonate.ie/fundraiser/Joe Nolan 2. So that's a very worthwhile cycling event happening next Sunday morning.
The Farm Show on KCLR with Matt O'Keefe.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
KCLR Mart Report.
Sponsored by Kilkenny Livestock Mart. Serving the farming community for over 60 years.
Now, George has arrived in studio after what sounds like a very hectic day at Killeen Hill.
Yeah, hectic, all right, Matt. We had 1,450 cattle on offer. Turnover in excess, almost 1.6 million. If you add the cows to it, you're talking about, for both sales, 1.85 million. I know that some horses are making that, but on the cattle front, it's not too bad at all. A very, very busy day in Kilkenny. Beef bullocks, 240 to 321 per kilo. That's 1,600 to 2,700 euro per head. The 5 to 600 kilo bullock from 1,000 to 1,990 per head, or 2 euro to 350 per kilo. The 4 to 500 kilo bullock from 1,800 to 390, 1,800 to, I beg your pardon, the forward store bullock from price range there was 750 to 1,660, and the under 400 kilo from 180 to 411 per kilo, or from 480 to 1,470 per head. So as you see, Matt, even though we had a very, very large sale, plenty of customers out there, and new buyers coming from north, south, east and west, you name it. And it's once again, it's the catch 22, where if you have the cattle, you'll attract the buyers, and that's what's happening in Kilkenny. And as a man said to me, I don't go to, you know, if I go to a mart and pick up two and three and four cattle, you know, I want a load, or two loads as the case may be. So it's good to see them coming from Cork, from Meath, from Kildare, up further afield, up to Cavan and Monaghan. So it's good to see that happening in a place like Kilkenny Mart. On the heifer front, Matt. A good solid trade also for the heifers. The beef heifers, you're talking about a price range there of 250 to 321 per kilo. The forward store heifers from 222 to 280. The price range for the beef type would be 1760 to 2220. The 450 plus, they would be forward stores 1150 to 1660 per head, with the lighter type from as low as 350 for fairly plain heifers up to 1340. So once again, a very, very solid trade all round. And Eric mentioned about the sheep, the same in Kilkenny. We had a few new buyers appearing for the lambs. They made up to 520 per kilo, 530 per kilo, or in monetary terms, up to 225 per head, and hoggets up to 235 per head. So all in all, a very good trade, with cullios in excess of 240. So all in all, a good trade for cattle, a good trade for sheep, and it's good to see.
Absolutely. Just in passing, George, I'm always impressed when I call into the mart how you and your auctioneer colleagues can manage to keep an eye on the screen for online bids, keep an eye on the ringside for people leaning in there on the bars, and for people up in the seats.
Yes.
You know, it's a whole new world compared to pre-COVID.
Oh yes, it is. But mind you, the amount of people bidding online is amazing. And of course, I said a couple of times today, there's a Chinese bid, there's a Dutch bid, a Swedish bid. In fairness, there's no such thing, but they're all local. But people are taken in by that, so let them off. I must say that the online, I didn't think that we would be selling cattle online. You know, on an apparatus, and you see it on the screen. You know who's bidding you, and you know if they're genuine, etc. etc. So all in all, it's a great addition to the Mart business.
It's all become so, and younger people wouldn't have a memory of this, but it's all become so much more efficient. I remember years when the big glut would come in the autumn and you could be selling cattle there at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, very true. And today, as I said, we have 14, but then again, the yard in Killin Hill is smaller. The numbers, the most we'd get, I'd say, into Killin Hill, 1,500 cattle. Now, today we were at a bit of a squeeze because there were some great cattle on offer, and I'm well done to the farmers who produced those. And, you know, all in all, a very good trade all round. Just remarking, next week again, remember we have our dairy sale, the 70 cattle, and they were very poor trade last week. There was some great value to be picked up in the dairy sale last Monday because customers were scarce. It was, remember, after the long wet weather, a lot of people very, very busy, and I suppose they didn't get out to buy cows, but there were great value there. You could buy a decent fresh calf cow from anything from 1,200 up to 1,600 per head, and maybe 17 at a push, but they, I felt, were very good value. And the dairy sale next week, there's 70 on offer. There's also, of course, on Monday, a sheep sale. Tuesday, the cull cows are going extremely well, Matt, because we had buyers, once again, new buyers. Since it moved to a Tuesday, we've attracted five strong buyers, once again, from all over the country. And that's on the Tuesday. So that's the cull cows. And someone says to me, do I have to enter? We just want to enter to know what the buyers, you know, they ring us up and say, how many cows have you? And of course, the more we have, the more inclined they are to come to attend a sale. And of course, on the next Thursday, our cattle sale. We had a suckler sale today, and some nice cows with calves at foot made it to 2,500 pedigree shallies there from 1,800 to 2,300 per head. So yeah, things are lively. And I suppose a damper, I have to report that our man Martin Hayes, who was associated with Kilkenny Mart for so many years, has succumbed to an illness last Tuesday, and unfortunately his funeral was today. Unfortunately, many of us couldn't make it, but we did have the little picture of him with a little lighted candle in front of it in St. Martin. And I suppose it hits home to me too, that it's a very tough life for some people. The Prendergast family, with Edward, and there's a reason for me, because Edward, we looked after his cows, etc. A lovely man, and it's so sad. And I'm sure there's more out there that we could mention, Matt. But you know, our thoughts, we mightn't always be with you, but our thoughts are with you at this tough time.
May they rest in peace, George. Thank you very much for your report. Thanks, Martin, for producing and engineering, and to everyone who contributed this evening. From me, Matt O'Keefe, until next week, farm well, farm safely, good night and goodbye.
The Farm Show on KCLR with Matt O'Keefe.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.